Happy Sabbath, church. Happy Sabbath, church. It's wonderful to see you all. Isn't it lovely to have a family, knowing as we go through the week that, you know, we're going to spend this special time together. So thank you, Sister Lizzie, for the scripture reading. And Sister Charlene, thank you so much. Such short notice. What a beautiful song. I wish I was blessed to sing like that. So just give thanks to the Lord for this opportunity. And Sister Lizzie read from 2 Corinthians 1:12, where we see where Paul has declared his only boast that by God's grace, his conscience confirms his right conduct. Paul and his co-workers have behaved with simplicity, meaning they've had integrity, they've had openness, honesty, not according to the standards of worldly wisdom. And so he is boasting, but boasting in a good way. So I want to ask you to do a little exercise at the moment. This is just to illustrate the message that I'm going to be sharing. You shouldn't really do it, but just maybe imagine, because God forbid anything happens and I'll be held culpable. So I want to ask you, how many of you would be able to hold your breath? And how long could you hold your breath for? So let's try and hold a breath just for a little while. How long can you hold your breath? Do you feel any discomfort? Okay, for those that are holding their breaths, you would feel discomfort. You would feel uncomfortable. And then you would have to start breathing again. So we cannot hold our breath indefinitely, because God has built into the body a warning system, as oxygen is necessary to life and dangerous if we go without breathing for too long. But God has also built a warning system into the human spirit as well. And this warning system is called the conscience. Now, growing up and spending time with my mother, if somebody wronged me and I was upset and I would try and complain, my mother would always say to me, "Don't worry, their conscience will touch them." And I would say, "But Mom, how do you know?" She says, "The conscience will touch them." So we can see that the conscience that we have is something that God has put as a tool. It's something that shows us when we're morally wrong, or it disturbs us spiritually. Now, if you can imagine, if you've done something wrong, I can assure you, conscience will keep you all night and it will wake you up very early in the morning. So we look in Acts 24:16, and it states, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." So we look at the story, the first instance of conscience. And the sermon, the title of this sermon is, "Are You Listening?" Do we listen to our conscience? Do we listen to that voice? Now, we know that the conscience is a tool that God uses to speak to us. So when we do something good, or if we do something bad, our conscience will definitely remind us. So I want to mention, for example, with the conscience, we look at the story of Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They communed with God. They had a wonderful relationship. The garden was all theirs. And then Satan came along. We know the story. And what happened? All of a sudden, they knew then that they were naked after they committed the sin. And they walk, the first instance of conscience is God comes into the garden and they're hiding and they've covered themselves and they tell God that we are naked. And God asks them, how do you know you're naked? And obviously, their eyes are open because they have gone ahead and sinned. So the conscience is something that is used to tell us, direct us when we are wrong. The conscience is asleep when you haven't done anything bad. Wait until you do something that is morally wrong, then the conscience will speak to you. Do you know that even babies, have you seen small children, for example, they'll go and they'll pick up something they shouldn't have or help themselves with the cookie jar or something like that. All of a sudden, that little voice speaks to them, that voice of condemnation, that you shouldn't have done that. Now, imagine a child. We're all sinners. We all sin. But with the good news is that we have a Savior who's died for us and who has sent us the Holy Spirit, who will help us on our way. So Acts 24:16 says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. So there are so many stories we see about conscience. We see a story in, for example, in Rwanda. I'm sure you know about the genocide that took place, the Hutus killing the Tutsis. And when they had the court of justice checking, obviously looking at, you know, what had happened, and, you know, a lot of people came out and went out, kept quiet about what the part they played. They didn't say anything. And eventually, some of them went ahead and gave themselves up because they had their conscience was pricked. And they went to say, look, I went ahead and I was part of this, and they were arrested. So we can see that the conscience is something that the Lord uses, and every single person has a conscience. Romans 2:14-15 tells us that God has written his law in the heart of every person, whether that person acknowledges God or not. Although not everyone has knowledge of God's laws as revealed in the Bible, which is the Ten Commandments, everyone has a built-in sense of what is right and what is wrong that God holds us all accountable to obey. We look at Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So we look at some stories, for example, of conscience. We look at David's story in 2 Samuel 24:10. His conscience troubled him after he had taken a census on the troops. He said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I've done. Now, Lord, because I've been very foolish, please take away your servant's guilt. A lot of people have been tormented by their conscience that they have confessed their crimes. We've seen stories of people who have in the dying bed, all these years, they've been living with the guilt of murder or something evil that they've done. And there's nobody there. Nobody is present, just that individual who commits the act. But the conscience is our witness. And so it troubles these individuals, or any one of us. We're all sinners. When we do something, we find that the conscience will alert us when we've done something. So these people who have done this cannot bear the burden of the conscience, and they have gone ahead and confessed. We've also said about little children. They also, when they're naughty, show themselves guilty by their behavior. So the Bible describes four conditions of the conscience. There's clean or clear, there's weak or untrained, there's evil or defiled, and there's also sealed. Why is it important to have a clear conscience? So that we can strive to keep our conscience clear before God and man. So that, number two, that we have respect for another's weak conscience. Romans 14:1 says we must accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. So when we look at conscience, we ask ourselves, is it something that we all have? And yes, it is. Sister Rada spoke of the time that we went away, we were giving out tracts. I met a young man who said to me that he was feeling guilty. He used to be in the church for a very long time, but unfortunately, he hasn't been going to church. He's been doing a lot of good deeds, but the more good deeds he does, the more he gets into trouble. He spoke about a time where he went out in the street, saw an old lady being beaten up, and he jumped in and ended up getting arrested for something that he didn't do. And he said his conscience is pricking him. He keeps worrying. He keeps thinking, why am I feeling like this? Like I said, our conscience bears witness, and it will bother our conscience for a while. But we have not to worry as believers, because we have the Holy Spirit who is with us, who guides us, who protects us. We know that God is omniscient. He's the one who is all-knowing. He knows everything about the past, the present, and the future. God is also the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So why did God ask Adam, "Where are you?" as I said? God knew what they had done. He knew that they had sinned. They knew his distinct voice, but it was their conscience. It's a gift from God instructing us to do what is right and what is wrong. For example, when we gossip or slander someone, our conscience prompts us to stop. But sometimes we don't listen. We continue to gossip after we're finished. Why are we talking about conscience? It's so important that we are aware that whatever it is that we're doing, we have a moral compass from God. It's a gift that directs us, a gift that will allow us to share the good news and to be able, especially in this time where we say the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. We are supposed to be the pillar of light. Now, we are not perfect, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the guidance of reading our word and studying and submitting ourselves to the Lord, he will help us to put all our crooked places straight. Romans 2:15 tells us that the reason we have to know our right and wrong, because it validates the law in our hearts. What is the law? The law we have is our Ten Commandments. We know that the conscience is an inner voice that God has placed within each one of us for internal judgment. Our conscience is what cautions us even before we do something wrong. It bothers us when we're doing the wrong thing, and it convicts us even after the deed is done. What is the difference between the Holy Spirit and conscience? Every person has a conscience, a compass distinguishing between right and wrong, as I've said. The Holy Spirit helps us to interpret the signals the conscience sends to us. The Holy Spirit inhabits every believer. So those that are believers, the Holy Spirit dwells with us. We know that the Holy Spirit is a distinct person, part of the Godhead. Only a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you this question, and I want you to think back. Think of a time when you have done something. Have you been able to have the peace? Now, peace is something that surpasses all understanding, and peace is what we strive for. When we are in harmony with the God that we serve, when we allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and our lives, it allows us to be able to do the work that the Lord has set us to do. We're living in very difficult times now. We're looking at times, I think we spoke earlier, I heard someone say that Harrow, Sister Rada said Harrow Church is sleeping. Does our conscience bother us? Are we really doing enough for the kingdom of God? And this is a question that we need to direct to ourselves individually. I know this subject isn't the most interesting, but unfortunately, it is one that's going to determine our journey and our destiny, wherever it is where we are going to end up. The Lord is calling upon us at this time. In these times where we can see the world events, we can see that the laws are changing swiftly. We can see where man has turned away from God, is looking for self. We've seen where people are no longer interested in coming to church and worshiping. There's so much going out there that seems so exciting. So many people are taking the stance of, I'm going to be out there because I have plenty of time. But what happens when you have a conscience and you do nothing about it? You find a situation where the Holy Spirit for the believers will call you, please come to me. Don't do that. Please come to me. And he keeps calling us because God has prepared a place, eternal place for us. But we need to not think of ourselves. We need to think of others, perhaps, who are bound by conscience. If you don't confess and you've done something, you can imagine what it does for a lot of people. In the times that I've worked with different groups of people, you find a lot of people are burdened because there's something that has happened in their lives and it has bothered them. And they've not had the opportunity or the privilege to release it. But we are so blessed as Christians, as children of the living God, that we can go on our knees. We can come and congregate together and share the good news to others within amongst ourselves. But at the same time, look to the Holy Spirit who is with us. And he interprets the signals that the conscience sends us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of our scripture principles. And only when we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is he living in us. So we ask this question, what about those who haven't got the Holy Spirit, but they have the benefit, they have the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. They have a conscience that allows them to know what it is that they're doing. Is it the right thing to do? The human conscience is rooted upon fairness, not divine grace and mercy. As we all have a conscience that monitors right from wrong, it is important we do not ignore the conscience because it will hinder us from a spiritual life. We need to look at an internal evaluation of ourselves. You know, when you are sort of going ahead and you're running a business or something like that, you do a SWOT analysis. You say, right, I want to open a shop or I want to open a business. But before I do it, is it viable? So I need to look at the strengths, the weakness, opportunities, and threats. So we as Christians here, we are the light bearers. We are meant to be going out there and bringing others to know Christ. What is it? How do we evaluate ourselves? What are our strengths? What is it that we can do for the kingdom of God? It's not about ourselves, not about us achieving. And yes, it comes with it, but what are we doing? The whole purpose of us being on this planet is not really for ourselves. It was not until, you know, we do evangelize, but when we went last Sunday, it was the most fantastic experience in the sense that you could see that a lot of people are a lot of people are lost. A lot of people are looking for someone just to share. And sometimes it may not actually be even giving them a track or a book. It's about spending the time and sharing about the goodness of God, building a relationship with our neighbors, with our co-workers, I think once you build a relationship, the rest comes easy. But are we ourselves, when we look at our SWOT analysis, we look at our strengths, what we can do. What are our weaknesses? What are the things that worry us, that burden us? We need not fear, because the Lord knows each and every one of us individually. We may think we have a lot of time. We don't know the day, the time, the hour of the Lord's coming. Let us listen to that voice that tells us what we're doing right. Let's hear from the Holy Spirit to help us so we are reminded of scriptural principles, that the Holy Spirit draws closer to us, that we spend time in prayer, we spend time reading the word, chewing it, digesting it, applying it.